You are Locked On Colts, your daily Indianapolis Colts podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into your latest episode of Locked On Colts, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Today, as always, your host, Evan Setter, joined by Stephen Reed of Stampede Blue. We're back for an instant recap episode here in the Colts' final preseason game. Finally, the preseason is over, training camp is over, and the regular season for the Colts officially begins in 2 weeks' time. Stephen, the Colts are undefeated for the first time since 1984 in preseason. I know it doesn't matter, but interesting fact that maybe some people listening to this podcast now had never even experienced that in their lifetime where the Colts actually went undefeated in the preseason. I remember the days with Peyton Manning where it'd be 0-4, 0-3 every single year. It's ironic to see finally an undefeated year for the Colts in preseason.
Yeah, I'm super excited, Evan, for them to go undefeated in the preseason. They might even put up a banner, maybe. I don't know. Who knows? obviously just joking about that. It's good to be on. You know, it was probably one of the more interesting preseasons that we've had in a while. So that was good, but otherwise, I am glad it's over.
Yeah, next time we do a recap show, Steve, we'll be talking about the Colts versus Seahawks regular season opener, so that's very exciting to think about. We'll obviously be doing daily coverage here on the podcast throughout the regular season, but let's go over the Colts win real quickly just for the next 15 to 20 minutes. For tonight, guys fighting for roster spots, some big takeaways we saw from positive and a negative standpoint. The Colts won in Detroit over the Lions 27-17. I want to start off with a negative here first, and we'll dive into the positive. I'm going to go down my list here. Really disappointed. I think throughout preseason, throughout camp, he had some good moments, I think, in camp at some points. But even against Minnesota, there were some sequences he looked pretty good. But, man, the up-and-down roller coaster that is Rocky Sin continues. And I really, really disliked his effort tonight in this game where he got beat off the line of scrimmage by Quintez Cephas, a Lions fifth-round pick. I believe he was a year or two ago. Beat off the line of scrimmage immediately. Showed his hips to him. Cephas noticed that, burns him on a slant route. And then near the end zone, Rocky Sin doesn't even try to make the tackle. He just looks dejected immediately, puts his hands on his hips, looks up to the sky saying, what am I doing? Just a really awful sequence from Rocky Sin there. And he did the same thing against Carolina too, where he allowed a touchdown. Minnesota had some good reps, but it's been more negative than positive so far. And that's not what you want to see from Rocky Sin entering an important year three. And I just keep thinking now, I really hope that I have to imagine Russell Wilson is licking his chops week one watching Rocky Sin film, because they're going to be targeting him early and often, because he is the one spot on this team right now, that opposite boundary spot from Xavier Rhodes. Kenny Moore in the slot's always consistent. But that second boundary slot, whether it be DK Metcalf or Tyler Lockett, Wilson is going to be force-feeding that and going to see what exactly Rocky Sin, whoever else lines up there, does, because that's the one spot on the Stevenson I'm kind of worried about right now.
Yeah, Rock was up and down. No, he played really, really well against the Vikings, so that was good. And I see your point on it looks like he gave up against Quintez Cephas. Like, you're dead on. Is he got beat early, and then he, like, whiffed on getting a hand on him after, and then just kind of put his head up in the air and just kind of let it go. What I'd like to see, and I didn't really get a chance to obviously, the game just finished, so we haven't gotten a chance to go back over. I want to see what he did after that, because I don't know if he gave up any big plays after that, because that's always been the thing with Rock Cassin, is if he gives up a big play early, he usually, his head gets down, his confidence sways, and then he's done for the rest of the game. So I want to go back. Before I pass judgment on him on this, I want to go back and take a look at what he did after that play. Because that's going to be, I think, the biggest tell in terms of his growth as a cornerback. When it comes to Russell Wilson and all that, I mean, it's Russell Wilson's going to just hope that his offensive line can block for him with how well Kwity Paye, Kamoka Ture, and even Ben Bannegu, who is getting double teamed a lot tonight, will be going up against him, and DeForest Buckner and Grover Stewart in the middle. Like, I don't think Russell Wilson, it's going to have to be those really quick slants, because he's not going to have time otherwise to be able to get the ball out. And so, you know, I want to go back and check the tape on Rock just to see what it looked like after that play, because again, that's been his big kind of Achilles heel And hopefully he played a little bit better, but that one play was, it was really bad. So if that's the one that sticks out in your mind and that's the one that, that he, you know, the rest of the game went that direction, you know, it's tough to see him. I think he'll still keep a roster spot, but it you just hope to see his growth and you haven't seen it to the point that you would hope, because he has grown over the past couple of years, but it's just not where you hoped he would be right now.
Let's go to the opposite spectrum here on defense for the Colts. You mentioned him a little bit, what your answer on Rock there. Kwity Paye, I mean, what can you say about him at this point? What he's doing in limited snaps in preseason the last 2 weeks without DeForest Buckner on the field during those sequences. Man, I am so, so giddy about what Kwity Paye is doing right now. It looks like an accelerated development curve right now for Kwity Paye in the Colts defensive system. Another big sack, a strip sack on, I believe it was, I don't remember exactly his name. That just goes to show preseason football for you. But the Lions backup quarterback who was in the game, Paye easily beat the left tackle, swiped his arms. I think the left tackle didn't get a hand on him until he's about 4 or 5 yards deep in the backfield. Paye and Terray almost meet simultaneously at the quarterback. But Kwity Paye, I mean, limited snaps for him. He had a couple pressures tonight, that strip sack. I just don't know what else to say at this point about Kwity Paye. The last 2 weeks, he looks NFL ready. He looks potentially double-digit sack ready. If he's doing this without DeForest Buckner next to him, just imagine seeing what he's going to be doing with Buckner next to him starting in a couple weeks for the regular season opener. I mean, this guy's never going to see a double team on the left side. Those guys together on the same side is going to cause major issues. If you pay attention to Paye, Buckner's going to beat you and vice versa. I think Kwity Paye set up for a monster year, and I keep hammering the point home to my followers on Twitter at Locked On Colts. Get in on the Kwity Paye Rookie of the Year odds as they're low right now, because I think this guy's going to have a monster start to the season with what we're seeing so far.
Yeah, and that it makes a lot of sense. If you can get on it now, I think it's like, what, plus 1,200 for his Rookie of the Year odds. But Kwity Paye has come as advertised. I mean, again, go back and listen to Evan and I's podcast right on draft night when the Colts got Kwity Paye. He's coming. Everything that we said that day, that night, is coming true with him. And I might have said a couple of times that I think that he can be a double-digit sack guy, and this is before even seeing him in preseason. You know, like you said, playing next to DeForest Buckner, he's not going to see a lot of double teams because you've got a first-team all-pro defensive tackle. They're eating up blocks. Now on the sack and on the sack fumble, part of that is the quarterback's fault. Tim Boyle is the backup quarterback there for Detroit. He took the shotgun snap and still took a five-step drop, which is kind of wild. Regardless, Kwity Paye had a massive jump off that line. And if Boyle is where he's supposed to be, I still think Kwity Paye gets under and is able to bend and get under that left tackle and get in there and get the sack. Tomoko Terray was almost just as impressive, if not more impressive, because he was going against Penei Sewell over there on the right side and did a great move to swipe him out and get there. And again, if Boyle was where he was supposed to be, Kamoko Ture and Kwity Paye were going to meet at him no matter where he was at. And so just to see Kwity Paye start to put it together and be as dominant as he has been just with such limited snaps and so early, it's a really promising sign for the position that the Colts really needed to address this past offseason, that they didn't do it in free agency. They let two guys walk in Danico Autry and Justin Houston. And you've got him, he's coming up and he's doing exactly what you would hope he would do. And so I'm really excited about what Kwity Paye brings to this defense. I think they finally have a legitimate duo there, a really trio of pass rushers with Kwity Paye, Kamoko Ture, and Ben Vanigu there at the defensive end position. And they're all really, really young, which is something that you hope for as a GM, because you've got, you know, probably a solid like 5 years, 6 years of control over those guys. So you know you have at least one elite pass rusher, and those are the hardest guys they're arguably next to quarterback, the hardest guys to get is an elite pass rusher. So I'm excited for the Colts to have those guys. I think they can come out and really play very, very well early, and they're going to play great given that they're playing next to DeForest Buckner and Grover Stewart.
Built Bar celebrates the freedom of choice. Did you know that Built Bar has so many delicious flavors, there's something for everyone? When you talk to a Built Bar fan, they're definitely passionate about their favorites. If you know about the Built Bar flavors, you are looking at coconut, cherry barcia, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, and German chocolate. I have a lot of my favorite flavors, and if you haven't tried all of them yet, get a mix box where you get two of each of the nine flavors. Most of the bars have 17 to 18 grams of protein within 130 to 180 calories, and only 4 to 5 grams of sugar. It's a great tasting snack to tide you throughout the day. Order today and get whatever Built Bar you like, and go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKED15, you'll get 15% off your order. Again, use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Built Bar is the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team. I'm going to be alternating here from positives and negatives from tonight's game. Next up on the negative list for me, I mean, he's been on there throughout the whole preseason so far and training camp. Sam Tevi, he did go down early in the second half with an injury. We'll have to see what happens there. But either way, Tevi was not going to make this roster, and it was really cemented tonight, getting abused once more at practice squad pass rushes from the Lions. He got moved to right tackle in training camp just because he was so awful on the left side. Right tackle's been the same story for Tevi. I have to imagine, I mean, I can't think, honestly, Steven, of a more unimpressive and disappointing free agent signing for the Colts under the Chris Ballard regime than Sam Tevi. I mean, obviously, we weren't expecting much out of him. He was a backup offensive lion, but man, he looks like he's not even meant to be in the NFL anymore.
Yeah, he's not been good. It's been pretty bad, really. He had a interesting run there with Sam Ellinger with the pitch play to him, so that was a interesting improvisation move there, and he got injured, so you feel for him because you never like to see a guy get injured. It actually might end up being the best case scenario for him, because in that case, if there's an injury, I think he needs to be waived injured, which means after he clears waivers, which I'm fairly certain he will, then he goes in the injured reserve, and then the Colts can do a buyout, an IR buyout for him, or injury buyout, versus him being cut and then losing all that money. So it might have actually worked out well for him that he got injured in this game, but you hate to see it. At the same time, he hasn't been good, so he wasn't going to make this roster, I don't think, anyway. I think that he was going to be a guy that is, like you said, arguably Chris Ballard's worst free agent signing so far in his 5 years as general manager. And so you can't complain too much, though. It's a pretty solid run there in terms of signings and draft picks. But Sam Tevi is just a miss, and it's something that I don't think anybody could have foreseen, because he had 44 starts or right along those lines with Los Angeles with the Chargers. So you would think that he'd be here and be at least adequate, and he just simply hasn't been. And that's really kind of the frustrating part about it.
Yeah, it's been really disappointing what Tevi's done so far. He'll be off this roster, I imagine, by the end of this weekend. But let's go back up to the positive from this one. I'm going to be, like I mentioned, going back and forth here, positives and negatives. Next up from tonight's game, Kylan Grant and the Colts' fourth-round pick, tight end of SMU. I think he had his best game yet in the preseason. He had 3 receptions for 23 yards in the first half. Didn't have any drops. He's kind of been inconsistent throughout camp preseason. But I think ending preseason on a high note like Grantson did is a good sign, because I think he might have a limited role early on. But I have to imagine maybe mid or late in the season, he's going to really start breaking out once he gets adjusted to the NFL speed, because he's a mismatch nightmare. He really is a souped-up version of Trey Burton, and I imagine Frank Reich is going to be scheming up plays for him pretty soon.
Yeah, Greenson's an interesting one, because he's really been kind of up and down, I think, in the preseason. He's had some drop issues in a couple of games, but today it seemed like he played a lot better. So I'm excited for him, because, like you said, he's a souped-up version of Trey Burton, and he's got a lot of the things that Frank Reich really wants to use in an F tight end. And so I think that he's going to be used a lot, and I think he'll – you mentioned midseason. I think they're going to use him pretty regularly, probably starting about, like, week 4, week 5 range. To give him some time to get in. He's clearly the tight end 3 at this point, and I think that the Colts are probably only going to keep 3 tight ends. So he's got a great chance to get some playing time in there. Given the injury history of Jack Doyle and Mo'Ali Cox, he's probably going to get some time to get in there with the starters as well. And I think that they're going to start giving him packages as the year goes on that really is just kind of focused towards, you know, getting him in the offense, because having a tight end that can catch, that can run, is really a mismatch. And Frank Reich has always been about variables and having his offense be variable. So then he can go and exploit those mismatches whenever possible.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Grant's is going to be super exciting to watch here throughout the season. I think he's going to be used early and often, like you mentioned, Steven. And he's a guy to watch out for. If you're in a deep fantasy league, I would take a flyer on Grant's, and just later on he could pay off big time. But let's go to the next pick. The Colts actually made the 2021 draft. Their fifth-round pick, Sean Davis, the safety out of Florida, was flashing in OTAs, but ever since, not that much from him. Training camp was up and down. He got injured early on, joined late. Even when he got back, he struggled. Preseason, he struggled mightily in multiple situations, and tonight, nothing different. Multiple missed tackles, seemed like he was lost in the field at some points. He's been kind of outplayed so far throughout camp preseason by George Odom, by Andre Chachere. It feels like to me, unless the Colts are convinced that Sean Davis won't make it through waivers, I think he's probably bound for the practice squad as a fifth-round pick. What do you think about that?
Yeah, he had a up and down. I mean, he did well in camp when he played, but he was really up and down today. He missed a really easy interception on the first series of the game. He missed a bunch of tackles, which was a little surprising. But then he made a couple of good plays in there. But in terms of who's been more consistent, I think it's Chachere, and that's the guy. That's the guy who's going to take that spot. And I think that Chris Ballard is going to cut Sean Davis or wave Sean Davis and try to sneak him out of the practice squad. Because at this point, you have to understand, he also hasn't put up any tape, any pro tape that anybody is going to be like, yeah, okay, I definitely need that guy. So that's where I kind of lean on that. And it really just depends on how they keep their defensive backs, depending on how many corners they keep versus how many safeties, and whether they're going to keep five and five. Like, I just don't know how they're going to split up the defensive backfield. So they might keep him just because they don't want to put him on waivers because they see something there. Because there were some really good plays that he had tonight. But at the same time, like I said, there are some pretty big misses as well. So you got to weigh those. And I think they're probably going to waive him and try to sneak him on the practice squad. But it wouldn't surprise me if he's one of those last guys that make the roster.
Going back to the positives here, we haven't mentioned him throughout the pod. It was a solid night for him. I think arguably maybe his best game yet in preseason, just based off consistency and rhythm and timing and everything. Jacob Eason, 10 of 14 for 74 yards, no touchdowns, no picks. He finished his preseason off very efficiently, Stephen. I mean, looking at his full three-game numbers for the Colts as the starting quarterback, I know he played the second half against the Vikings, but 41 of 64 to 66 completion percentage, which is above average in the NFL, 389 yards, zero touchdowns, zero picks. Kind of exactly what you asked for out of Jacob Eason. I know he had that really rough start against the Vikings late in the first half when he first got in the game. But outside of that, those one or two possessions there, Eason's looked actually really solid throughout preseason. And he's a guy to me that I feel like he's passed the test of a guy in game action where I feel pretty comfortable with him as the long-term developmental quarterback. And feels like to me he could be the new Jim Sorgi with a rocket howitzer arm.
Yeah, I thought Eason played really well tonight. He showed a lot of – he showed more touch than he has in last week against Minnesota. It's kind of similar to that touch that he showed in week one of the preseason versus Carolina. He played better, I thought, and he stood in there and took a hit and delivered the ball. And that's one of the hardest things as a quarterback that you do, is be able to stand in there, know you're going to get hit in the chest, and still deliver the strike. And Eason did that. And one thing that can't go unnoticed is that Eason doesn't throw interceptions. And he hasn't all preseason, which is kind of wild, because Sam Ellinger threw three, Brett Hundley threw one in limited game action today. But Eason, even though he throws just this howitzer rocket-style ball, like, the defenders also aren't aware of that. And so they have no chance to, like, really react to it. So even when he's off, as long as the ball doesn't get popped up in the air as a little lob layup kind of thing, like, most guys aren't picking him off. So at least so far in the preseason, and in a backup quarterback, that's really – I mentioned this on my podcast, a very stable podcast over at St. Pete Blue. That's one thing that you want in a backup quarterback is – you want a guy that doesn't turn the ball over. And right now that's Jacob Eason. He had that forced fumble, that strip sack in week two, but outside of that, he hasn't been bad. He's been pretty decent, and he's grown in each situation, which I think is good.
We do have some breaking news here from the Colts beat writers at the game in Detroit right now, talking about the quarterbacks. Frank Reich just did mention, because he did get hurt in this game, Sam Ehlinger, who went out with a knee injury, Zach Kiefer on Twitter, my sense is this injury is serious for Sam Ehlinger. Frank Reich said after the game it didn't look good. If Ehlinger is out for an extended period of time, if he ends up going on IR with a knee injury, it'd be such a bad break for Ehlinger, just based off what he's gone through this whole year personally. But do you feel comfortable enough, Steven, to say, you know what, I don't want to carry Brett Hundley or go get another veteran on this roster if Ehlinger's out for the year with an injury? Or I'm just spitballing here, so we don't know the exact injury. But if Ehlinger's out for an extended period of time and does go on IR, are you comfortable just rolling with two quarterbacks in the 53-man roster and just having Eason back up Wentz, or do you want to get another guy in there?
No, I feel really comfortable with it, honestly. And for the Colts, and again, this is a terrible thing to say, but I don't think they wanted to waive Sam Ehlinger. I think that this – if they can put him on IR at this point and have him miss the entire season and not have to worry about him being claimed by anybody else, that's kind of the best case scenario for them. Because again, they really, really like Sam Ehlinger, and it sucks that he got injured. So please don't nobody think that I'm saying that the Colts were hoping he would get injured. They were not. And it's a terrible thing that he got injured. But I think the Colts are really comfortable. My guess is they'd be very comfortable rolling with two quarterbacks throughout the regular season. They'll probably try to put somebody like Brett Hundley on the practice squad because, again, veterans are now allowed to be on there since they're using the COVID rules from last year in terms of rosters in the practice squad. My guess is they'd stash some veteran quarterback on the practice squad, and then they'd run with two quarterbacks there on the roster. And when they do that, this is the game with the rosters, and what's gonna matter is how they feel about Carson Wentz and his status for week one. Because if they don't feel like he can play week one, then they're obviously going to keep a third quarterback. That's without question, they're going to keep a third quarterback. If they feel comfortable that Carson Wentz can play, which seems like they do feel comfortable with that, because he took a bunch of reps in practice this past week, and all three practices this past week he was out on the field beforehand at Ford Field just running and sprinting like it was like a normal warm-up for him, and it seems like he's shown no ill effects from this surgery. If the Colts feel comfortable with Carson Wentz, then I think they'll feel fine keeping two quarterbacks and then stashing a veteran on the practice squad. If they don't feel comfortable with Carson Wentz, then they'll keep three. And if they keep two on the active roster, they feel comfortable with Carson Wentz, then that opens up a roster spot for them to keep a guy that maybe they wouldn't have normally kept, like that sixth or seventh wide receiver, that extra linebacker, the extra defensive back that maybe before they weren't going to keep, but now they can because they've got that extra roster spot from the quarterback position. Instead of having three, you've only got two.
It's that time of year again, and all eyes are now turned to football as teams are back on the gridiron to start the football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. Get all the updated odds, props, and contests, including online's biggest $500,000 NFL mega contest and the world's largest $200,000 NFL Survivor contest open now at BetOnline. Head to the website or use mobile device right now to sign up today to receive a 50% off welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just kidding, it's 100%. Isn't that crazy? Be sure to take advantage of their opening day super promo. Make a bet on the Thursday, September 9th season opener between the Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Dallas Cowboys. And if you lose, your wager will be refunded up to $25 for new customers only. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. From football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of the great offers for the 2021 season. BetOnline is your online sportsbook experts, and to use this great promo, the promo code is LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Definitely going to be something to watch for there. We'll have more as the roster cutouts, I imagine, start happening tomorrow. We'll know more on Sam Ehlinger's injury as well, so we'll keep you updated here on the pod. But last two guys I wanted to check in on here before we close out today's show, Steven, from a negative and a positive standpoint. First off, with the negatives, Isaac Rochelle, who I think has been really up and down throughout camp preseason. He didn't do anything today against Detroit either, against some third, fourth string guys. just wasn't impactful for a guy who's been a rotation guy and with the Los Angeles Chargers. I've been kind of really disappointed with Isaac Rochelle. He's a Notre Dame guy, so I have kind of a fondness for him. Grew up as a Notre Dame fan, but man, he just hasn't done much at all for me to impress me on in training camp and preseason. That made me think this guy should be a lock for the 53-man roster, especially adding in Ben Bannigu's emergence throughout preseason. I think Rochelle is on the outside looking in. I think him and Tevi might be the big veteran cuts by the end of this weekend.
Yeah, I don't know if I agree on the Rochelle stuff. I think that I don't think he's a lock to make the 53-man roster by any means. I think that he was always going to be a fringe guy after that, the first part of training camp in the preseason. But outside of the one series against Carolina, he really struggled. And then he had a couple of things today, but he also had a sack. He also had a tackle for loss. He had four tackles today. So I thought that he didn't stand out, but he wasn't one of those guys where he wasn't the Sam Tevi of the defense. You know, now in terms of being a free agent signing that might get cut, yeah, he's like Sam Tevi, but Isaac Rochelle to me wasn't just markedly bad each and every snap. And so I wouldn't be surprised if he makes the roster, but I also wouldn't be surprised if he got cut because, like you mentioned, Ben Bannigu and his emergence, they've already got Tyquan Lewis, Kamoko Touré, Kwity Paye. You've already got four right there. And then you've got some other guys that you've got to make a decision on. Do you keep Andrew Brown right there? Do you keep Al-Khadi Muhammad on the roster? What do you do with some of those other guys? You know, Chris Williams played well. You've got a bunch of guys there at the defensive line that can play. And so you have to make that decision. And I don't think it's an easy one by any means, but I also wouldn't be surprised if Rochelle was able to be kept.
Yeah, he truly is on the roster bubble. We'll have to see if he ends up making it or being cut by the end of this weekend. But the last player I wanted to hit on here, because he did have a huge second half in this game, he's been unimpressive, I would say, throughout camp preseason, but this flash they showed in the preseason finale, maybe it gets Chris Ballard's ears perked up and thinks about the long-term possibilities, because this is a guy we talked about at the beginning of training camp as a potential roster guy you can stash. Deion Jackson had a big second half, two touchdowns, one receiving, one rushing, 81 yards on 10 carries. Obviously, it's against the last string guys in the Lions roster, but what was your thoughts on Deion Jackson's second half, where I thought to myself, you know what, if Deion Jackson can do this, if Benny LeMay, who's been really doing well for the Colts in preseason, if he can do this as well, I'm just thinking to myself, why not explore the trade market on Jordan Wilkins, who is an expiring contract at the end of this season? He's your fourth-string running back. He does some stuff on special teams, but I imagine that Deion Jackson could do the same thing for you. He also offers more versatility in the passing game. I do wonder if Wilkins could be a surprise cut or a surprise guy you could say can fetch a sixth, seventh-round pick. If you see a guy like Sony Michel, we got a fourth and a fifth-round pick from the Rams or from the Patriots in the trade with the Rams. I have to think that Jordan Wilkins give you a seventh-round pick by the end of this weekend. It seems like a guy to me, like if Deion Jackson can do that, I like him as your fourth-string guy, but I don't know if he's done enough to beat out Wilkins, of course.
You see, Deion Jackson is the guy that went after the draft, and once we started getting into it, I mentioned on this podcast that I thought he was a surprise guy that would make the roster. I think when we did our 53-man roster projections, whenever that was, and Jordan Wilkins was my surprise cut slash trade. And I'm still there with that. I think Deion Jackson gives more versatility. He shows that he can, you know, hit that button and go and make those big explosive plays. And Jordan Wilkins is a solid back, but he's your fourth right now. And unless you plan on letting Marlon Mack walk next year and just keeping and re-signing Jordan Wilkins, which I don't know if they plan to do just because the running back position as a whole is one that you can easily replace. And you're not going to invest big money into Jordan Wilkins because you've got Jonathan Taylor and Nyheim Hines that you're probably going to be giving money to. So you really kind of want to fill out the back of that roster with cheap undrafted free agent guys like Deion Jackson, things like that. So I would say Jordan Wilkins makes the most sense to be one of those guys that they look to potentially trade. And I think he could get at least a seventh-round pick. I honestly think that he might be able to get more from a team, because I think you're probably looking at like a sixth-round pick, maybe even a fifth from certain teams. But I think that he could get at least something back for the Colts, you know, probably most realistically a sixth round pick. But he's a guy that Deion Jackson's played well when given the opportunity, and he struggled a little bit in training camp to start. But he came along as a late, and I see him making the roster as that fourth running back.
Yeah, he's going to be someone to watch out for this week and to see if he ends up making the roster. I'm intrigued to see what happens there for the running back four spot. But, Stephen, anything else you want to cover on today's pod before we end it? Because it's like I mentioned at the top of the show, we're finally done preseason and we're on to Seattle. We're about 10 days away from that happening. So it's finally around the corner here. Lucas Oil Stadium to be at full capacity. It's back to normal here with football, full stadium at Lucas Oil. So very exciting time, Stephen. It's been, I feel like, forever to get to this point, but we're finally there.
Yeah, I'm excited for it. I'll be interested to see what goes on at the wide receiver 5-6, because Michael Strahan had another good game. Desmond Patman had another great game, but they both struggled on special teams, and Ashton Doolin excels on special teams. So I'll be interested to see what happens there and whether, you know, like I mentioned with that quarterback spot, if they feel comfortable with Carson Wentz, do they go ahead and keep that seventh wide receiver, knowing that wide receiver is typically a position where a guy gets hurt at some point. And so you want to have those guys on your roster and you don't want to let those guys potentially go to waivers. I think that Michael Strahan, I thought again, was really impressive with some of his catches today. That and same thing with Desmond Patman getting that big bomb from Sam Ehlinger. It was a big play. So I was kind of surprised by it, but at the same time, I'm interested to see what those guys do and where Chris Ballard goes on Tuesday.
As always, Stephen, appreciate the time. Colts fans, go ahead and follow him if you're not already at Nice Read Steve on Twitter. And go listen to his podcast, A Very Stable Podcast on Stampede Blue. Stephen, appreciate the time. And now we're going to be able to talk about regular season games in preparation for that. So that's going to be a lot of fun to get through this stage and on to the next one.
Yes, finally. Yes. All right. Thanks, Evan. Have a great one.